imagine. What could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
This Thunder Country weather update for all of southern Iowa is brought to you by Albia Ford. They're right on Highway 5. They're right on the money. Experience the difference of selection and service at Albia Ford. Mostly clear skies tonight. Your overnight low around 47. Tomorrow's high around 71.
Now it's time for Just Start Talking on Thunder Country, brought to you by People's State Bank and Albia. Just Start Talking is a community service program from KIIC. And now, live from high atop the square in downtown Albia, Just Start Talking.
She puts the star in K-Star Country Radio in Conroe, Texas. The Guinness Book of World Records has proven that she has been in radio broadcast longer than any other woman in the world. On tonight's edition of Just Start Talking, Pat Powers is with us, and I'm Beth Hunter, and we are joining with the one and only Mary McCoy. Please welcome to Just Start Talking, Mary McCoy.
It's a treat to be here.
We're so proud and pleased to have you on the line, Mary McCoy, and what an institution you have become. Tell us a little bit about yourself in terms of how you got started way back when, and it's a great story to hear for our installment of Just Start Talking.
Well, God has been so good to me. When I was 3 years old, Pat, I used to sit on the front porch with my mom and dad. Daddy was working on a farm at that time. And I know 3 years old, that sound doesn't sound right, but it was. I dragged my little rocking chair out on that front porch every Saturday night, listened to the Grand Ole Opry, and that was my dream, was to be on the Grand Ole Opry. I wanted to, my dream was to sing, to play records, and I wanted to be have my own show where I could play records that all the artists was producing, and that's what puts them on top when they get to play. So, and that, not only that, I wanted to make records, and I did. I've got quite a few. It was two LPs with singles, the little 45s, and I accomplished that. But back in that story up, when after we left the farm, Daddy was working with planer and sawmill working. Of course, sometimes I would go to school, you know, two different schools in 1 year. But when we made it to Conroe, I knew this was my home. I loved it from the minute we got here. I was at the age of 10 when when Daddy promised me that he would keep me right here, and he did. As a matter of fact, at one point we moved away, but he moved me back because I said I've got to get back, because I knew the radio station was going to be signing on in 50-51. My mother had heard them testing, and she said, Mary, she said, I think there's a radio station coming into Conroe, and that was in 1950. Well, sure enough, in 51, that station signed on and had been singing on talent shows, and the manager at the Crichton Theater called the manager at KMCO and told, his name was Jimmy Darrell, and told Jimmy about me. And so Jimmy called the school. I was in junior high at the time. And he said, Mary, we've heard a whole lot about you. And he said, we want you to come up and be on the talent show this Saturday. They had started the show the second Saturday after they signed on in April 15th of 1951. So I was there. I caught that big old, my dad, when we moved to Conroe, I lived in a tent. And
wait a minute, Mary. Mary, you lived in a tent?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. There was the ones that followed the planer and sawmill work. They we moved in, and that was my, in Conroe, I lived in that tent. And of course, you know, and sometimes kiddos don't, they don't mean, mean to be that way. At least I never did let anything stop me. It just made me more determined when they called me, they called me church, because I lived in that tent. But I didn't let that get me. Well, I caught that big old Greyhound bus, and I rode into town that second Saturday the station was on. And after the show, the talent show was over, well, the manager said, "Mary, do you think you could do enough songs for 15 minutes? And I said, "Well, I think so." And so I had borrowed a guitar because I didn't have one of my own. My mom taught me how to play a guitar when we had she had an old beat up one, and I borrowed one, and she taught me everything I knew. And so when I after that show was over, well, he said and asked me to do the show. Well, I did. I recorded that. He said, "Now I want you to go catch that bus." I told him I rode in on the bus. I said, and he said, "You go home, and you at 1 o'clock." He said, "You're gonna hear yourself sing." Well, see, all my life that was my big dream, was singing. So when I heard it when it came on at 1 o'clock. I started crying. My mom was asking me, "So what's wrong with you?" I said, "That is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life." I said, "I knew my career had ended right then and there." And she said, "You shouldn't, don't feel that way." She said, "It sounded great." Well, I said, "Nope, that's it." Well, the next week at school, I got another call from the manager at the station. He says, "Mary, we have a sponsor for your show." I said, "You've got to be kidding." He said, "Well," he said, "apparently he liked your singing." He said, "He wants to sponsor your show." And so I told him, I said, "Well, that's, you know, I was thrilled to death over that." But so after about 3 or 4 months, I that wasn't enough for me. I wanted my own show so I could spin the records. And of course, Pat, you and Beth, I know, remember, if you remember the turntables, the reel-to-reel tape recorders, but they started me out in a little booth, and one of the DJs would work the board for me. But he, of course, I had watched them in there a long, long time, and I knew what to do. But that day he came in and told me, he said, "Open the door." And I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "Get up, and you're going into the control room." And I said, "But what about my show?" He said, "Well, it's all yours." And he left me. So it was either sink or swim. So I learned to swim real fast. I was on the show. I was doing it. They gave me I had 2 hours every day, Monday through Friday, and then on Saturday afternoon, I had 2 more hours. But during that time, I was also singing. Of course, Mom and Dad had to go everywhere with me. I was on the Grand Prize Jamboree in Houston with Biff Collie, George Jones, you name it, Tommy Sands. They were all there. But I was still doing my show. I had KMCO. I was with them until KMCO in 1964, because he wanted me to come to work for him. I had gone to school with Rigby and the Owen family. They knew me, and I said, "No, I'm sorry, I can't come to work for you." He said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, because I grew up in this station. The Smiths taught me everything I knew, and I can't turn my back on them." Well, in 1970, I saw him over at KMCO. I wondered what he was doing. And next thing I knew, he bought the radio station. So 1975, we changed the call letters to KIKR. I was with Rigby. During that time, I was going to Nashville. I was him one of interviewing for 4 years, I think, back in 1970. I'll never forget one time I was up there, and Barbara Mandrell looked at Len Anderson. Len had just released Rose Garden and was number one, and she was on the top then. And Barbara looked up at her and said, "Len, but I want you to know I'm fixing to move you over at your place." And she did.
That's just an incredible story, Mary. I got to tell you. I'm talking with Mary McCoy. She's the longest-serving female DJ in the United States. She's in the Guinness Book of World Records because of that. Just an incredible story there. Let's go ahead and tell the listeners what that first song was that you played there in the talent show.
Oh, a talent show? Well, see, I yodeled. And I sang Cowboy Sweetheart. And when they gave me the 15-minute program, that was my theme song then. And I would yodel. And they
like Patsy Montana, first woman in country music to send a record to gold. Are you still proud of that, Mary?
I tell you what, I was so proud of it. In fact, I remember when I was listening on the porch, that's why I knew that's who I learned from was Patsy singing that, with her doing the yodeling. And of course, my daddy told me, he said, "I wish I could get a hold of the one that started that East," because every time if anyone came to see Mom and Dad, I would pull that rocking chair out right in the middle of them, and I would sit there and yodel the whole time they were there until they
Not everybody can yodel, that's for sure, and I'm not even going to try, but walk us into your experience then behind the microphone in a radio station. The technology certainly has changed. Talk about going through that, Mary.
Let me tell you something. I worked the board, did my own show. I started filing the records when they come in. Well, those big old 78s, why, you could knock somebody in the head with those 78s. And here I was, I didn't weigh over, I never got over 100 pounds. I have a picture of me. I had on my overalls, and I was little. This was when I think I had turned probably about 13 then, when I have a picture of that, of me and that. In fact, I have it in my Elvis room. I was filing those 78s, and the day, I'll never forget the day that I held the first little 45 record in my hand. But now I co-host the show with my partner, Larry Gala, that Larry and I have worked together for, I've known him for about 50 years, and we've worked together now, it's 26 years still, and we do a country classic show. I sit on the flip side. He does all the work, because when they went to computers, and that just went over my head. So I sit on the flip side. He does the work, and we're on every day from 10 to 12. And then on Sundays, we'll start back with a program that's been very popular for us. We do a classic show Sunday from 8 to 10 right before church.
And that's a great time to do it, for sure. I'm talking with Mary McCoy on her installment at Just Start Talking this week. What a phenomenal story you have. Give us a little info about that Grand Ole Opry experience that you had.
Oh, let me tell you, this was something else. When I went into the Guinness Book, well, there again, my boss, which was Rigby Owen, that owned the, they had KNRO and FM station here in Conroe. Well, I called Rigby one morning. I was on the way to work the day that I got the news about the Guinness Book. I called him and I said, "Rigby, guess what?" Well, okay, of course, they're like family to me, because I was with Rigby and his family until 90, I believe that was in 91, he sold KNRO. not this CD. He sold KIKR because he'd already sold the FM station and had the AM. He was the one that, when I called him up and told him, I said, well, Rigby, I finally made it. He said, well, Mary, guess what? You're the only one that has become famous in our class of 1956.
And so... Famous
Mary. And so he said, in fact, he called my daughter, and her name is Kim, and he called her, and my youngest daughter, she lives with me, and I have four beautiful daughters, but she's with me now, and he says, I want you to go to work, I want you to get your mother on the Grand Ole Opry. And she did. I call her my manager because she's had me on the Deborah Duncan show on Channel 11 here in Houston. But she's a real manager.
Well, is Kim the one that worked for a year and a half to get all the documentation together to get this through the World Guinness Book of World Records?
That's right. That was my daughter. She had she went through. She sat up for she'd sat up to 11 and 12 o'clock at night looking for clips in the newspaper. And I had all kinds of where I'd have where I was and where I would be singing or everything about me. I sang, I know, in 1965, Roger Miller canceled out at the Huntsville Prison Rodeo. Well, at that time, this was like, 65, well, one of the guys from the rodeo came to the station and was looking for me. He says, we want Mary to perform DeSante because I'd never met him. I don't know how he, but anyway, I was up there in the place of Roger Miller. 34,000 people, they brought me out in that little Surrey. I'll tell you what, Beth, and Pat, that was the biggest thrill of my life. But I was scared to death that they were going to turn those bulls loose before I got out of there. But what was so funny, after the show was over, well, they said that Pete Caulfield, who was the head one there at the rodeo, that he had never invited any of the artists up to his booth. But he invited, he sent the clowns, told the clowns to bring me up. He wanted to meet me. But when I looked at him, I said, could y'all help me up and, help me? Because I'd gotten up in the Surrey, and they got me out, but they started kissing me all over the face. And you couldn't even tell what I looked like because of the paint. But they took me up to and I met Pete Caulfield. Well, he was so impressed with me that he booked me for the next four Sundays.
Mary, you're incredible. Now tell me, what kind of shifts did you work on air through the years? What's your favorite shift?
Well, my favorite one was always enjoyed working on in the afternoons. Of course, now I love it all the time. I just love people. That's the bottom line. At one point, I was signing the AM station on in the mornings. I'd be there. Well, I'd leave the house about 3 so I could get everything ready. And I'd get there and I'd go on the air 5. And then when I got off at 10, that's when I would... See, I also went into sales. I didn't claim to be a salesperson, but I loved people. And I'd get out, and I'd go, and I'd sell. So that's, I know Conroe has changed. It's changed a whole lot since that time. And I could name every little store on that square. And I'd get out and make my rounds after I got off my show. And still... I'm still in sales.
Well, Mary, pretty is as pretty does, and you shine beautifully from the inside out. You really do. I can see why radio loves you. I can also see why you love radio. So in your whole career, this has been your choice of career, and you've gotten to do what you love to do.
Yes.
Do you feel like it's loved you back as well? Are you just fully happy?
You know, what I've always said, and I believe this with all my heart, you know, when you have God on your side and you have friends, I have people still advertise that are clients of mine that have stayed with me ever since. One in particular here in Conroe, well, I lost two this past year because they retired. Well, but this one that's still with me has been 66 years.
That's incredible. You know, somebody said to me recently, what other job can you love what you do and do nice things for other people? Is there another profession where you can do that? Well, there are other professions where you can do that. And I'm so glad that you have, of course, made Conroe your home, starting out there living in a tent. That's a pretty incredible, Mary. That's a pretty incredible story.
It was, I've always told anyone that comes to me and they'll say how much they love to sing, you know, and I've always told them, if you want to sing and you want it bad enough, I said, don't let anything stop you. And that's always been me. It made me more determined when somebody would put me down, but I still love them. I guess with, like, beginning with KMCO back in 51, Jimmy, Darrell, Boots Oglesby, the entire staff, they had so much faith in me. And they helped me and this is something that when I leave this world, all of this will go with me. I could live the rest of my life on my memories.
And you know, it's funny, you said that your signature song was I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart. That song is absolutely contagious. I don't care how old or how young, if it gets sang live, what happens to an audience, Mary?
They just go wild over it. It's just like someone gave me a Christmas present this year, a Texas cowgirl, you know. It's just something about that song will, of course, it'll always be with me.
You know, I'm so proud of your accomplishments. I mean, the Guinness Book of World Records has confirmed you have been in broadcast longer than any other woman in the world, Mary. And that's a story. But as your comrade, as someone in your business now in your life, I would say to you that you're singing career also deserves kudos as well. And I know off the air I had asked you if you had done any songwriting, and you said no, that you hadn't. But I kind of gave you a pass on that, Mary, just because being in broadcast takes so much creativity, and it's consuming. It will eat breakfast with you, and it will put you to bed at night.
Yes, it does.
Yep.
I've always, like a while ago when we were talking with friends, I don't meet, when I go out, I don't meet a stranger. I try to, everybody, if I've come with them just for a few minutes, it seems like I've known them for a lifetime, like you and Pat. This is so special to me, Beth, and now, speaking of voices, you have a great voice.
And Mary, you know, it's so funny because it's really a privilege to let you tell your story. As a fellow broadcaster, we sit on the other side of the desk and we listen to everyone's stories and we absorb it. We love people. I mean, that's what happens. You get bit by the I love people bug and just absorb what they say and do. But how does it feel now to be heard, for someone else to hear Mary McCoy's story?
It's wonderful. God has blessed me in so many ways. And, of course, my mom and dad was my inspiration. I knew what I wanted to do, and I made my decision at a very young age, and I wasn't. And that's something that I always like to pass along to someone. If you love something and you want to do that, don't give up.
Was it Billy Walker that said, do what you love and love what you do, and if someone pays you for it? How does that go, Mary? I can't remember that.
I can't remember it, but I tell you what, I loved Billy Walker.
Loving Billy Walker.
Hey, Mary, I've got one more question here before we wrap it up. But we're speaking with Mary McCoy. She's in the Guinness Book of World Records as the longest running female DJ in the world, which is a phenomenal item to have. I'm going to put your feet to the fire here, Mary, on this last question. It's going to be, give us your top five artists that you like to listen to and play.
Well, okay. Of course, you know, I had the pleasure of working with, of being with Elvis on the Louisiana Hayride. And when I was on my show, I would have Jim Reeves, that's two of them there, that came by to visit with me. And, of course, Loretta Lynn was just like, she was just like could have been a sister with me. Everybody said, Mary, you and Loretta Lynn look just alike. And that was quite a compliment. And you sound like her, you know. I know she came by one time. She was on her way to do a show in Bryan College Station. And she had her hair up in rollers and just down to earth. We all always called she and Patsy Cline all of them the roots of country music. And, of course, and the next one, let's see, Hank Laughlin. Hank was the one that got me on the Big D Jamboree in Dallas with Slim Whitman, Sonny James, and all those guys. And let's see, then number five, I would have to say Connie Smith. I loved Connie. And but you know what? Really and truly, they all are my favorite. And it's been quite a journey for me, but I've loved every minute of it.
And Mary, in show business, it doesn't make any difference if the audience loves you. What really matters is if they know that you love them. And you have shown that over and over and over. And the world is now looking. How many interviews have you had in the last year?
Oh, goodness. You know, the day that my daughter ran into, I was getting dressed to go to work. She says, Mama, you finally made it to the Guinness Book of Records. That next morning, I was listening to the Kelly and Ryan show in New York. The reason I was listening was because I knew he was supposed to leave the show. And I sitting here, I was putting my makeup on, and I heard him say, and there's this woman. She's 85 years old at that time, you know, and 85 years old, and she's working 6 days a week. Well, I jumped up. I said, that's me he's talking about. I peeked around the corner, and I saw my picture, and I was trying to get my daughter's attention. Every time I'd say her name, well, my dogs would start barking, and I couldn't get her in. And when I got to the station, one of the girls came in and said, Mary, you've been getting calls. I was doing two and three interviews a day for about 2 or 3 weeks. And my voice has been places that I will never see. But it was just like talking with them. They loved me in Canada. They had me in London, just all over. It was just overwhelming.
This is so funny, Mary, because I'm just picturing you sitting there putting on your makeup, just calm as can be, and go, well, son of a gun, I'm on television. Nice little surprise.
You should have seen my face. I stared it everywhere.
Don't want to miss a word. And that's how you make me feel, Mary McCoy. You make me feel like I don't want to miss a word of what you have to say.
You, that. I want you to know that right now.
We love you back.
So don't forget it.
We love you back here at Thunder Country, KIIC. But you are the star of K-Star Country in Conroe, Texas. And Mary McCoy, I'm so thankful for you and just love you spending time with our listeners, telling your story. Oh my gosh, you're in my mind. You have taken me so many places through this interview, and I hope everyone else is as inspired just by your story and your many, many years in broadcast. It's big work, Mary.
It will be.
If we're making it look easy, then we're doing